If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I want to share a message today that I said last week. I felt the message was timely. I feel like this one is as well. In case you haven't noticed yet, 2020 isn't over. I know you're wishing it is. It would be over. I think a lot of us are. Things are still going on, COVID-19, and a lot of things taking place. And it can be a time that causes stress. How many know that's an understatement? I want to share a scripture, a very familiar portion of scripture, Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we'll have it up on the screen for you, says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Thank God for His holy word. The title of my message today is Antidote to Stress. Antidote to Stress. You know, when someone has some sort of poison in their system, a snake bite or whatever it is, you first thing you ask is there an antidote? Well, I think stress can be a poison in our system, don't you? I think it can. Now, let me say this. Stress at its core is a response to a perceived threat. Often that's a good thing. Did you know stress in small doses can actually be a good thing, a healthy thing? Your body releases adrenaline that's needed to deal with a threat. And then it goes back to its normal state once the threat has passed. The problem with chronic stress is that the body doesn't return to its normal state. And so there is a constant sense of stress, and that can wear you out physically and mentally. What are some of the most common sources of stress in modern life? I probably don't need to tell you these, but I'm going to list a few anyway. See if you can relate to these. Number one, one of the most common sources of stress is worry. Right? Anybody here ever worry? We worry about finances. We worry about our health, our safety. Our modern day and age has given us new worries like identity theft, losing our mobile phone, you know, which has probably every important piece of information in it, losing that. And then, of course, 2020, COVID-19, financial downturn, racial strife. Oh, yeah, and there's an election coming up in a few weeks. That causes a lot more stress than it used to for some reason. So worry. Another common source of stress in modern life is hurry. The pace of our life. Speed creates stress. We move from one stressful event to another. The third thing is crowds. 83% of the American population lives in cities. Listen to this. In 1800, only one city in the world, the city of London, England, had 1 million people. Today, over 500 cities have at least 1 million people. In its 75 largest cities, Americans waste 4 billion hours and 6 billion gallons of gas a year in traffic. Crowds. Number four, more choices in life. Now, I know what you're thinking. Isn't having choice a good thing? Well, to a point, but it can be stressful, can't it? You know? There are some people, and some of you will say, this is ridiculous, and it is. Apple just announced their new lineup of phones coming out this, you know, this fall. And some people are stressed out. Which phone should I get? It doesn't take much. And so, choices. Number five, modern life, a source of stress is loss. Loss of loved ones. We've talked about this morning. Loss of privacy. They say you should live your life as if you have no privacy because you don't. If you don't believe me, just Google your name. Loss of money, loss of friendships. Then number six, common source of stress is pluralism. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, different beliefs, values, lifestyles. You say, well, people have always had different beliefs. Yeah, but it's never caused as much conflict as it does now. Go on social media and disagree with someone. You'll see what I'm talking about. That's stressful. And then number seven, fear. Fear is a source of stress. Fear of the future. What's going to happen? What's going to happen next? So there are a lot of sources of stress. But I'm here to tell you that as Psalm 23 gives us the antidote to stress. Aren't you thankful for that? I want to share with you seven habits that reduce stress. Seven habits that reduce stress. And we find them here in Psalm 23. Let's look at it together. The first habit that reduces stress is to look to God to meet all your needs. Look to God to meet all your needs. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." The Lord is my shepherd. Sheep are basically helpless creatures who cannot survive long without a shepherd, upon whose care they are totally dependent. Likewise, like sheep, we are totally dependent on the Lord to protect and care for us. You've probably heard this said before. Sheep are essentially dumb animals. Pastor Tim, you comparing us to dumb animals? Well, you draw your own comparison. we could take a few hours on dumb things people do, right? Sheep are essentially dumb animals that don't learn well. They're difficult to train. They don't have good eyesight. They don't hear well. They're slow animals. They can't escape predators. They have no camouflage. They have no weapons for defense like other animals, such as claws or sharp hooves or powerful jaws. The shepherd meets the sheep's need for food, water, rest, safety, direction, you name it. The sheep is dependent on the shepherd for it. And you see, whether we like to admit it or not, the metaphor that the scripture uses to compare us to sheep is an apt metaphor. Because whether we realize it or not, we are completely and totally dependent on the Lord to meet all our needs. Do you hear me? Like sheep, depending on the shepherd. Can I tell you something? This election is important. It's important to be involved. It's important to vote. But government is not the source for meeting all your needs. The economy is not the source for meeting all your needs. The stock market is not the source to meet all your needs. The source is Almighty God. I love what it says in Romans 8:32. Speaking of God the Father, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" The logic is inescapable. If God the Father gave his one and only son, if he gave the very best that heaven has to offer, how is it possible that he won't give us everything else we need? Amen? And so the first antidote to stress is look to the Lord to meet all your needs. I guarantee you, I could talk to 100 people who are experiencing stress, and I ask every one of them, well, how much have you depended on the Lord? How much have you taken to Him in prayer? We might be surprised at the answers. And that includes churchgoers. You see, look to the Lord for your needs. Look to the Lord as your source. What about, Vera was just sharing with me this morning, an answer to prayer. That was, I won't give the details, but it was a time-sensitive need, and she said God came through like He always does. Because He's our source. And how many can say God's been faithful to you in the past? Come on. Isn't it a pretty safe assumption that He'll be faithful in the future? Look to the Lord as your source. What's the second habit that reduces stress? Obey God's instructions about rest. Verse 2 says, He makes me lay down. He makes me lay down. That's foreign, kind of an odd sentence structure to our modern ears. He makes me lay down. In Exodus 34, 21, in the law, it was said that 6 days shall you labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest. And so the first day of the week was the last day of the week, Saturday, was the Sabbath day. But now the New Testament tells us in Colossians 2:16 to let no one tell you about the keeping of Sabbaths. And in other words, you don't have to, have your Sabbath day on a particular day because we're free from the law. But the principle is still there. We need a time of rest. Whatever day you choose, any day can be a Sabbath. What can I do on my Sabbath? Well, I can do 3 things. I can rest my body. These bodies need rest. Every study tells us that we perform better, we function better when we get enough rest. I can refocus my spirit. How many know there are a lot of distractions? A lot of things that grab our attention that aren't helpful, that don't build us up, that don't benefit us spiritually. We need to refocus our spirits on things that matter. And thirdly, recharge my emotions. Everything looks worse. Every potential crisis, every potential problem, every issue in life looks worse at first blush. And it's easy to let our emotions, and we're emotional beings. God created us that way. But He doesn't desire that we be controlled by our emotions. Come on. And so, if we have an emotional reaction to a situation, if we let that dominate and overshadow everything in our lives, we're going to be an emotional wreck. We need a Sabbath to recharge our emotions. Because I was just talking about this morning. Almost everything that we dread and worry about, once a little time goes by, we find out it wasn't quite as bad as I thought at first. I know sometimes it is quite, but a lot of time, most of the time, right? Either the Lord intervenes or things change, and we expended all this worry and we had all this anxiety, and it wasn't so bad. Well, we benefit by a time of rest. Heard a story about a dog named Tattoo. And His owner had shut his leash in the car door so he could help his wife carry a load to the car. And then forgetting the dog was there, the owner pulled out into the road. I know this sounds terrible. And Tattoo still had the leash caught in the door. It was trailing behind. And at first it was like going for a walk, but as the car picked up speed, it became tough for little Tattoo to keep up. And the people who loved their family pet the most were unaware of the danger he was in. But fortunately, before they went too far, a police officer noticed the situation, flagged the car down, and got them to stop. And, of course, the owners were horrified at what they had potentially done. Little Tattoo was okay. But, you know, sometimes we feel like that little dog on a leash, don't we? when you're on a leash, you don't decide where to go. That's decided for you. And sometimes we feel like we are just being pulled along by circumstance, don't we? Boy, talk about stress. And so we are just dragged along and pulled along, and we are powerless like little tattoo to stop it. But what helps with that? Rest. God made us with a need for rest, and he modeled it for us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, where it says God rested after he created the universe. Somebody said, if you don't take time to rest, at some point your body will make you take the time. Another person said this, my best requires rest. So an antidote to stress is to obey God's instructions about rest. Thirdly, recharge your soul with solitude and beauty. Recharge your soul. We talked about resting your body. Recharge your soul. In verses 2 and 3 it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Makes me lie down in green pastures. I remember when I was a little kid, we used to watch baseball on TV, and when I was younger, we had a black and white TV. I know that really, really dates me. But some of you maybe remember when there wasn't TV. I don't know, maybe. That just makes me feel better. But anyway, remember the first time, now of course, you know, we had grass, you know, where I lived, you know. Didn't live in the concrete jungle. Remember the first time my parents took my brother and me to a baseball game. And I'd never seen a baseball diamond that wasn't shades of gray on a black and white TV. And I just saw that big old field with a green field that was so carefully manicured. And man, I thought that was just so awesome, you know? And so he says, he makes me lie down in green pasture. What a beautiful picture. And there's something about recharging our soul with solitude and the beauty of God's creation. And speaking of Jesus, Matthew 14, 23 in the New American Standard Bible says, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. Luke 5, 16 says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I love what it says in Philippians 4, 8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. There's something about getting alone with God's beauty and being in solitude where it's just you and God. How many have experienced what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. There's just and you just recharge your soul. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. When's the last time you just got alone with God? And sometimes it can just be taking a walk. I know we feel restricted with COVID and everything, but just getting outside and just getting and contemplating the beauty and the majesty of God and his creation. I've shared this before, but years ago, my wife and I were privileged to go on a cruise, and we had an outside cabin. And I remember being out in the ocean and just at nighttime looking out the porthole, and all of course, nothing but water around us as the boat was churning as the ocean liner was churning through the water. I could just see a little bit, the lights of the ship just would light a little bit, and then just beyond there it was black. You could just see a little bit of the waves, the foam of the waves churning. And I was just overwhelmed at the vastness of it. I just, Lord, this is your creation. Lord, you just spoke this into existence. And my soul was blessed. It just reminded me of how big he is. And so, let me challenge you to take time. Recharge your soul. Recharge your spirit, your emotions. Pastor Tim, but I have so many things to deal with. Precisely why we need to just get away from it all. Spend some time in solitude. Some people are terrified of being alone, and I get that, but brief periods of just being alone, if you can manage. I know it's hard with family and obligations, but just time to recharge. What's the fourth habit as an antidote to stress? Go to God for guidance. Verse 3, the end of verse 3 says, He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Where do you go for guidance? Where do you go for direction? Do you go to the experts? Well, if I found it on Google, it must be correct, right? Used to say if it's in print, it has to be true. No, it doesn't. I Googled it. It has to be true. Not necessarily. Do we go to our friends? Do we go to the experts? He guides me in paths of righteousness. James 1:5 says, If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all. We have a capacity to make terrible decisions, don't we? Do you ever look at people's lives, or maybe even your own life, if you've now we know things happen to us that are beyond our control. That's the world we live in. But sometimes we make that worse because we make terrible decisions. And we're all subject to that. And we say, well, where'd you go for advice? Where'd you go for counsel? Go to God for direction. James said, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He gives it generously. He gives it liberally. And God has a variety of ways to guide us, doesn't he? Through his holy word. Did you ever hear a spiritual nugget or a spiritual truth that really relates to your situation? You might come across a scripture, and then someone might mention it in conversation. You might hear it in a sermon. You might come across it online. You might be watching a TV preacher or something online and hear it. And you just say sometimes, boy, God, I think you're trying to get a message to me. He does that. But when we seek him earnestly in prayer, he will guide us. We may not hear an audible voice, but he will, how many know what I'm talking about? He'll give you impressions. He'll give you confirmation in your spirit. The Mythbusters television program, which airs on the Discovery Network, it examines urban legends and internet myths and other popular beliefs within the culture. And on an episode one time, the host tested the belief that if left to themselves, people will tend to travel in circles when asked to travel in a straight line. And so they knew that people use external references, to travel straightly. So they test the theory by putting people in a large field and put headphones and blinding goggles on them so they couldn't hear or see anything. And they told them to walk, see if they could walk in a straight line to the far side of the field. After several attempts, they found out that the people ended up closer to where they started than to where they were going. And they tried the same experiment with people swimming across a lake, and each time they ended up closer to where they were because they had no external source of reference. And that's what we do sometimes, don't we? We think we're going in the right direction, but we shut ourselves off from God's wisdom and God's guidance, and we end up in a worse place than we were before. I don't know about you, but I want to have that guide, that direction that comes from God's Holy Spirit. And so, an antidote to stress, a big part of stress is not knowing what we should do next. Go to God for guidance. Let him direct you. He will guard your path. He will guide you in your steps. Number 5, habit as an antidote to stress, trust God in the dark valleys. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. 1 Peter 4:19 says, So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Psalm 142:3, I love this. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you, who know my way. Isn't that powerful? When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. Dark valley is symbolic of being in a difficult place, not being able to see where you're going, not knowing what's happening. And a valley is always symbolic of trial. You ever go through a dark valley? Let me encourage you to trust in Him. Let me encourage you to know that maybe you can't see Him, but He can see you. Some form of the phrase, fear not, you've heard this before, some form of that phrase is found 365 times in the Bible. One for each day of the year. Fear not. There's a quote that says, I don't have to know the answers when I know God. I don't have to know the answers when I know God. Researchers have found that your fears can actually make a problem look bigger. How many people are afraid of spiders? Few of you. How many people love spiders? No, I'm kidding. Researchers have done studies where they show that people who are afraid of spiders, when they see a spider and they describe the size of it, another control group that's not particularly afraid of spiders, the people who are afraid will describe the spider as much bigger than it really is. I mean, the studies have shown this. People who have that built-in fear will see it as being bigger than it is. And, that's the way it is with all of our fears. Things that we fear. Problems arise. We know that's part of life. But when we are overcome by fear, they often look bigger than they are. That financial difficulty looks bigger than it is. That physical problem, that emotional problem, that deadline that's coming, that problem at the office, whatever it is. And yes, it's a real problem. We experience real problems. But fear can magnify it and make it seem bigger than it is. What's the antidote to that? To trust Him. To say, God, I don't understand what's going on. But Lord, You've proven Yourself faithful in the past. Come on, church. Amen? And I believe You're going to be faithful to me in this dark valley. Trust God in the valley. You say, well, Pastor Tim, I trust Him, but then I get in this situation and my emotions just take over. Exactly. That's why we need to make a conscious decision in the midst of our fears to say, Lord, I choose. Speak it out loud if you need to. I choose to trust You in this dark valley. You say, oh, that's just psyching yourself up. No, it's not. It's declaring the truth of God's word that He will be with us in the dark valley. It's speaking truth in the situation. That's what it is. Trust God in the valley. Number 6, a habit to battle stress. Let God be your defender. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Psalm 18, 1 and 2 say, how I love You, Lord. You are my defender, my protector, and my strong fortress. In You I am safe. You protect me like a shield. Jesus is our defender. The Lord is our protector today. Hallelujah. You know, one of the consequences of social media, and I'm not anti-social media, by the way. You may think so from my comments today. I think it can be like a lot of other things. It can be used for good or bad, okay? But one of the negative consequences is people are increasingly feeling the ability to be rude because they can often do it anonymously. Right? I mean, people write things on social media they wouldn't dare say to someone face-to-face. And it's hard, you know, sometimes we want to, we have that that inclination that we need to defend ourselves. And there are times to set the record straight. Sometimes people just don't have the facts, you know. But can I tell you something? You won't always be able to defend yourself. Sometimes you just need to sit back and let God defend you. I found that in my life. I shared this before. My family and I were away on a trip, and someone in the church, not here now, long since gone, but someone sent me a long email, happened to send it while I was away, with a laundry list of problems they had with the church and with me. Now, I know everybody's, you know, people have issues from time to time. That goes with the territory. But man, this guy threw everything but the kitchen sink at me. I was so hurt. I was so upset. I was hurt. I was upset. I was angry. Can you be all those things at once? I was. And so I began to write a point-by-point refutation email back to him of everything he said. And I'm even embarrassed to admit this, but I was just so worked up. I was up the whole night. I got no sleep that night because I would edit it and say, oh, and I can say this better. And I composed a masterpiece of truth. And I hit the send button. I was pretty cranky that day because I got no sleep that night. I was still angry. And you know what happened? That person read that email and he said, Pastor Tim, I see every point you made. I was completely wrong. No, he didn't say that. Didn't convince him of one thing. At the time, I thought it made me feel better. It didn't. I felt lousy and I lost a night's sleep and I foolishly tried to defend myself. I learned from that. Sometimes you need to set the record straight, and the Lord can help you do that. But to be your own defender doesn't work. God is my defender. God is your defender. And if we please Him, if we make Him happy, we can let Him answer the critics. Amen? He will keep us, He will protect us, He will defend us, He will keep us safe. Number seven, a habit to as an antidote to stress, expect God to finish what He starts in you. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and love, or some translations say mercy, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That word translated mercy in King James, translated love here in the NIV, is in some translations as loving kindness. It's the Hebrew word chesed, which combines three basic meanings of the word, which always interact. It has a connotation of strength, of steadfastness, and of love. In Scripture, the steadfastness of God is one of His most central characteristics. God finishes what He starts. Philippians 1:6, He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And then Jeremiah 29:11, I preached on this last week, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You see, always asking the question, what if, will cause you stress. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if? Instead, we should leave it in God's hands. Corrie Ten Boom, who was taken to a Nazi prison camp during the Holocaust, and all of her family was killed in the camps, but she survived and went on to conduct a great ministry into her old age. She said this, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I love that. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. You may not know what your future holds, but you know who holds your future. Amen? Amen? And so, as we conclude today, as the praise team comes to join me on the platform, what are the habits that reduce stress? First, look to God to meet all your needs. He's your source. He's your provider. Secondly, obey God's instructions about rest. Everything looks better when we get some rest. Number three, recharge your soul with solitude and with beauty. Recharge your soul. Number four, go to God for guidance. Let Him direct your life. Let Him order your steps. Number five, trust God in the dark valleys. You may not be able to see your way clear, but you can trust in the one who does. Amen? Number six, let God be your defender. Let Him protect and lead you and defend you from all your enemies. And number seven, expect God to finish what He starts in you. God's a finisher today. Amen? An old gospel song says, He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build His home enough in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. God will finish what He starts in us. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."